Okay. So what I'd like to do is to transition a little bit into a little bit of NLP concept, and then we're going to go into a name remembering strategy, and so that we can learn everybody's name. Now, do you think it is possible that you can learn everybody's name in the room here in just a few minutes? Okay? Yes, not only can you, but you will. And it's a wonderful little strategy to help remember people's names. And it's also a good opportunity because, again, you know, our intent is to create a supportive and safe learning environment. So it's helpful to know who you're traveling with, who you're on this journey with, and to develop, start to begin to get to know each other and develop those kinds of relationships where you can work really well together. And so one of the things that we work with in NLP is how we represent our experience to ourselves and to other people. So as we're moving around in the world, you know, we're experiencing things through our five senses. So we see things, we hear things, we feel things, taste and smell. And that experience goes into our nervous system through our sensory apparatus and goes into our mind and our brain. And then it becomes kind of recorded or represented in those senses. So you could probably think back to what you had for breakfast this morning. And part of you has recorded that experience on some level, that you remember what it was. Maybe you can see it. Maybe you can see what it is that you had. Or maybe the words popped into your head of what you had. Or maybe you remembered what exactly it tasted like if it was really good or not. I had a breakfast burrito here at the cafe out here. It was awesome. So I can remember exactly what that's like. So once those experiences come in, and they're now representations in our mind, so that when you're thinking, you're actually thinking in your sensory ways. So you can make pictures in your head, the sights. You can hear sounds. You can remember what things sounded like. There's also internal dialogue, the inner conversations that we have inside our minds. And then the feelings, there's three kind of categories of feelings. So one kind of feeling is your sensory, think of it as your skin sense of that kind of feeling. What if something feels soft or rough or hard or soft, those kinds of distinctions through our skin senses. Then there's what we call proprioception, which is the feeling of the feedback from your body about the status of your body. For example, it's like your sense of balance, whether or not you're upright. I can close my eyes and I know where my arm is in space because I get feedback from my body about my positioning in space. Also like sensations of hunger, or whether you're hot or cold. Those kinds of things, the proprioception is feedback from your body. And then there's our emotions, is another kind of feeling. And the emotions are usually a reaction to the way we're thinking about something. So if we think something is good, or we think it's right, or something like that, it tends to bring some kind of a good emotion. But if we think something's not right, or it's wrong, or that there's something that's hurtful, then it brings on a negative emotion. But it's how we think about it that brings on that feeling. So feelings and emotions are different in NLP. We might ask, for example, if you were angry, what does angry feel like to you? And you might describe it as, like, I might get feelings of heat rising up into my face, or tightness in my stomach, or constriction in my throat. Something along those lines. Those would be feelings associated with the emotion of anger. Does that make sense? How they're different distinctions. So we're going to do a lot with how we represent things in terms of those primary senses, the visual, auditory, and the kinesthetic. Kinesthetic means referring to feelings. So thinking, there's another domain of NLP that we call strategy work. Strategies are like a sequence of mental events that you go through to produce an outcome. And there's strategies for everything. And one of the things that Tim and Susie originally were thinking of ways, how do you find a good strategy for remembering people's names? So they first started looking at, well, how many of you are really good at not remembering names? Anybody? Oh, well, okay. This is going to be really good. So what often happens when people, well, let me ask you, what happens when you introduce yourself to somebody and you forget their name? Why is that? Or what do you do?
What I do, I say hi, and that's all. And then I wait until they say something to me.
Uh-huh.
Just avoid having to state their name.
So avoiding that. What else? What other things do you do? Right. I think that's probably the most common one, is where you're not paying attention to them or what you're hearing because you're inside your head thinking about, you might be either worried about how you're coming across or what are you going to say or something like that. So your attention is in here rather than out there paying attention to them, so you don't hear their name. And it's much easier to remember a name if you hear it. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the interesting thing is that when the, Tim would say that the auditory processing of your brain is occupied by both your internal dialogue and what you're hearing from the outside. They're processed by the same neurology in your brain. And so if you're inside your head talking to yourself, then that channel is occupied. It's already being taken up. And so again, you're literally not hearing or listening to what's going on outside of you. So one of the first things to remember a person's name, when you hear their name, is to repeat it to yourself several times. So this is auditory. So when somebody says their name, just say it to yourself inside your head two or three times. So that's the beginning. You just repeat it to yourself two or three times. And then we want to add the visual component of it. And so this is where we want to be able to associate their name with them as a person so that when we see them again, that their name just comes into our mind automatically. So one of the things that's really helpful is to see their name printed on their forehead as you're looking at them. So just imagine that it's literally like printed or written on their forehead. You might, if you're really good at visualizing, you might even see it being written on their forehead. You can add color, whatever you'd like. Okay, if you have a favorite font or whatever, go ahead and put it on there. So say their name two or three times inside your head for the auditory. Visualize their name printed on the forehead. And then we want to add the kinesthetic. We want to add some kind of feeling or action to that. And so one way to do it is to just, like, with your finger, write their name with your hand. And you could do it very, very subtly. You know, you could do it in the air, or as Susie used to like to do it, is to write the name on her thigh. So she had this, like, huge collection of names written on her thigh. But that adds the kinesthetic element of it. So now it's, that name is represented in all three of the major representational systems. How likely do you think it is that you're going to remember that name, having it like that triple representation? I mean, at the very least, you have to be paying attention to do that, right? To even engage in that process, you got to be paying attention to what the person's name is, much more likely to remember it. Another one that I think is very helpful sometimes is if you look at the person and you think to yourself for a moment, right now, this is the most important person in the world. I'm about to meet the most important person in the world. So it's like you would more likely be present if you were about to meet the most important person in the world, wouldn't you? To go, okay, I'm here, paying attention. And that often, for me, enhances the experience of remembering somebody's name because I really behold them. Does that make sense, that word? To behold somebody. Is that you really, like, are present to them. So that's very helpful. So what I'm going to ask you to do here in a moment is we're going to introduce each other. We'll go around the room and everybody will have the opportunity to introduce themselves. Oh, actually, you know what? Before we do that, there is another step I want to put into this. This will help you with your introduction. One of the things, again, and I touched on a little bit, is about NLP is very outcome oriented. We want to get really clear on what our goals, what our outcomes are, and we'll make some finer distinctions between those types of words as we go. But to really get clear on what it is that you want. So if you would, just take a moment and think about what it is that you want from this training. That if you were to write down one personal goal and one professional goal that you want from this NLP practitioner training. So if you would, take a moment, and you can obviously have more than one goal if you'd like, but at least write down one personal goal, one professional goal from this training, and hopefully something that you're willing to share. And if you don't have something to write with, trust that memory to remember it. So what I'm going to ask you to do, so we're going to do this in two layers. So the first layer is, what I'm going to invite you to do is just to turn to somebody close to you and introduce yourself and share your personal and professional goal with them, just as a way of quick intro. And then we'll come back And then we'll do the whole name remembering strategy and we'll learn everybody's name in the room. Sound like a plan? All right. If you would please, find somebody, introduce yourself, share your personal and professional goal. So did everybody get a chance to introduce? Okay. The bell will become a very familiar sound to you. That's the little call for you to come back if we have you out there doing exercises. Sometimes your exercises will be out. You can go out and maybe practice in this area or maybe in other areas in the hotel, of course, in this room. And then sometimes the resource people will go around and will call you back from an exercise. So there's this really nifty, cool thing that when, like, we're in the room and everybody's talking, the more you get to know each other, the more you want to talk, right? It's like you start going, wow, these are cool people. I want to keep interacting. So one of the things that's really helpful to get us to come back to, for more of the training is this way of training your brain that if your hand goes up, so do y'all know what this is? Okay, this is American Sign Language for I love you, okay? So now let's practice this. Allow your mouth to open, you raise your hand up in this, and your mouth closes, okay? Isn't that awesome? Let's try it again. Mouth open, mouth closed. So now whenever you see this, each and every time you see this sign, your hand goes up, your mouth goes closed, and all of a sudden there's this blissful quiet that happens in the room. So, say what? You're starting to feel the bliss already? It's kind of close to other signs, I know. But for us, this means, I love you. Okay? So as the hand goes up, mouth goes closed, and take a deep breath, and then it can bring you back here to the space, and then we can give you more good stuff. Isn't that awesome? So if you see other people, their hands start going up, and you, for example, if you're looking the other way and all of a sudden you start seeing the hands pop up, you know what to do.